The text for our meditation today is this gospel reading, and it is this song of the prophet Zechariah the priest, who sang, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel." Well, I know for Adam and for Ashley, your lives have been changed in the last few months as you've welcomed Liliana into your family. I'm guessing that you're doing things a little bit differently. Today is also the story of a heart, not just a life, but a heart being changed by God. During Advent, we're worshiping along with these saints of old who sang parts of the story during the first Christmas. Last week, we had Mary's song, the Magnificat. Today, we have Zechariah's song. It's also preserved in the church's liturgy called the Benedictus, and this is the song of a man whose heart has been changed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. So begins this song, the song of an old priest, a temple servant, a devoted husband, and at long, long last, a father. Now, Zechariah's story, which should also be called Elizabeth's story, is interwoven into the story of the birth of Jesus, just as John the Baptist is interwoven into his ministry years. Zechariah and Elizabeth lived further south, closer to Jerusalem, and as we're told in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Zechariah and his wife, old as they were, in their 70s, had no children. But that all changed. That all changed the day that the angel appeared to John while he was offering incense in the temple, fulfilling his priestly duties. An angel appeared to him and announced to him this miraculous news. He and his wife would have a son. It was such a shock to this old priest that he was skeptical at first, challenging the angel for some sort of proof, and being struck dumb as a consequence for his doubt. He was unable to speak until the day that came to name the baby, 8 days after he was born, when coming to the temple, then Zechariah's tongue was again loosed. He'd been silent for 9 months. I imagine how difficult it would be to refrain from any kind of speech for 9 months, to save up all of those things which you are thinking and feeling and wanting to say for 9 months. And now he declares this beautiful, rejoicing song. He pours out his heart in a song that has been centuries in the making, in which he speaks in wonder over this newborn 8-day-year-old little boy. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Now, there's much that could be commented on in a song like this. It's a long passage. We read it just a moment ago, and so I'm not going to reread it. There's many sermons worth of interesting details here, but what I'd like to draw out for us today, especially on Liliana's baptism day, is the change which happens about two-thirds of the way through. I wonder if you noticed that as we read. If you're looking at your bulletin on page 9 there, and you're seeing all of those words written out in the lines that they're recorded, or perhaps if you're following along in your own Bible, you have a Bible with you, then you might notice about two-thirds of the way down, there's a sentence that starts, "And you." And you. There's a shift that happens here. Now, the first half of what Zechariah sings, everything above that, everything above the "and you," is filled with images borrowed from a war-torn history that Israel's people had suffered. We hear about, for instance, in the third line, the horn of salvation, this implement of broadcasting on the battlefield, the horn of salvation. Or we hear this reference to the house of God's servant David, David, who was a warrior king, who established a dynasty that then became the golden age of Israel. We hear repeatedly that the one coming would be one who would save us from our enemies. In other words, there are enemies around and camped around Israel, as often the minds of that nation were turned towards those who were against them. Saved from the hand of all who hate us. That phrase finds its way into the song as well. Yes, the first half of what Zechariah sings is full of these images of conflict, expressing the history of oppression of God's people, and looking in hope to the coming of Messiah. Messiah, who is expected to come and free God's people from their oppressors, who is expected to come and right all the wrongs. The people wanted a Messiah who would make Israel great again. And the first half of this old priest's song yearns for and expresses the feelings of a nation which is ill at ease. But then there comes this monumental shift, this hinge. It's as if all of a sudden, and I picture it this way, I know the text doesn't tell us that this happened, but we can imagine a scene not unlike this morning where Zechariah, in the special circumstance of his son's naming, as they've gathered at the temple on the eighth day after his birth for his circumcision, is in the middle of this song. I picture someone passing him the baby. Imagine that for just a moment. In the middle of his elaborate priestly song, and perhaps, you know, as a priest, he, like some pastors I know, got used to hearing the sound of his own voice and got comfortable singing this song of Israel's history. Perhaps someone passed him the baby as a way of reminding Zechariah what was happening in his own life. Now, I know she's gone out for a moment, and it's okay and peaceful, but I was thinking, as I was holding Liliana, just as she was being baptized, the change that comes over you when you're holding a baby, especially a newborn baby. You have to have that experience to know what it's like. Before I was a father of myself, I didn't really ask to hold babies. I was kind of afraid to do so. But then there came the night when my own daughter was born, and I thought, I have to do this. And was I transformed, as I expect Adam, you were, and as I expect Ashley was too. It's as if everything that you ever value suddenly becomes distant, and you have there a gift which changes your heart. And I suspect this is what it was like for Zechariah too. As he held his son, John, as he saw within his hands this new life, this unfolding story, he stopped talking about Israel's history. He stopped making reference to deliverance and righteousness and holiness, and he began to speak tenderly to the child himself. You, my child. You, my child. I wonder about the changes that happen in our Christmas stories. I wonder if you recognize how many of our Christmas stories are full of that moment of change. A moment where the central character, having gone one direction, now begins to go a completely new direction. Whether it's a character like the old classic Ebenezer Scrooge in Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol, who was changed over the course of the entire story, or whether maybe more recently it's the transformation of the fantastical Grinch who stole Christmas, our Christmas stories are full of characters like that. In fact, most of the stories, the stories we read and the stories we see either in movies or in TV are full of characters who are transformed. There's a good reason for this. The very heart of the Christmas message is a story of transformation. And it happens when the world holds the baby Jesus for the first time. It happens when the baby Jesus arrives, announced very quietly and humbly in a manger in Bethlehem, out of the way, out of the public eye. It happens very quietly and very gently, but it transforms the heart of the whole world. If Zechariah, this priest, had been talking before about conquering enemies, now he is speaking of salvation through forgiveness. If before he was shouting the righteousness and the holiness of God, now with his son in his arms, he remembers God's tender mercy. Because of the tender mercy of our God, the sunrise shall visit us from on high. Truly, this is a new day dawning, isn't it? A sunrise which is breaking upon the old man's life, a new light which will guide his feet into the way of peace. Now, Adam, you and Ashley aren't that old, aren't nearly as old as Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were when John was born. But God has ushered in a new dawn for you too, a sunrise which is breaking upon you, a new light which will guide your feet into the way of peace. And so I wanted to bring you this message today of festivity, of celebration as you celebrate with Liliana, as you celebrate with Jesus, welcoming this baby born into the world who changes everything. Zechariah was transformed by his baby boy's birth. The heart of this old priest, lonely and tired as it had become through his years of service, through his years of expectation and yearning, perhaps for a child of their own, along with his wife Elizabeth, the heart of this old priest was changed. And the heart of our lives, the hearts in our own lives, might be changed this season too. I wonder what Christmas story you are writing these days. How is your month of December going? Jesus came to bring God's tender mercy right into your cradle too. He arrived humbly and gently, God's perfect gift. And he arrived meekly and steadily, growing to be a man who would call disciples to learn from his gentle and gracious ways. Jesus arrived and offered himself as a lamb to the wolves with power and control in Jerusalem. And they took him and humiliated him and tortured him and killed him. But Jesus arrived to transform the heart of the whole world. And his life and his death and his resurrection did just that. He rises today upon you like a new dawn, like a sunrise. He rises and he shines in glory upon you. And he offers to you and to your family the same life and hope which he offered to Zechariah through John's birth, through Jesus' birth, life freely given to all who believe. So may your heart be transformed too. May all our hearts be transformed as Jesus gives himself to us, as we are invited to hold this baby, to celebrate his birth. May he melt our hearts and change our lives for all eternity. Amen. And now may the peace of knowing that Jesus has come guard our hearts and minds into this season of celebration.